You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my sexual podcast!
We can do it on a turf, nigga. Oh, Lord. I'm the rookie and a vet. Shout out to the bitches.
Speaking of rookies and vets, we've got a very special guest here. She's a rookie and a vet. I'm not going to say her name first. Yeah, some people would think that I would, but I'm a professional comedian. I've been in the business decades of years, and I know the first thing to do is say a credit. She a real funny comic all over New York City. She been on the acclaimed series Modern Comedian. Here's a little clip.
Scenario for an open mic is like a very middle, like they laugh at what they like, they don't laugh at what they like, it's packed, that sort of thing. Just so there's a lot of people paying attention. Worst case scenario, no one's laughing, it's empty. And everyone's like really upset for some reason. Sometimes you just walk into a mic and there's just like a bad energy and you're like, well, I guess we all realize we're still at an open mic today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Subha Agarwal. Come on, we got a man in a chair. We got a clap a meter today. We bought him on Craigslist. He gonna clap, clap. Subha, it's so good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Subaria. JK, that'd be the worst.
Sounds like an STD. You just made my name into an STD.
Several comics have Subaria. Imagine I just played that whole... I kind of wanted to just play that whole... Modern Comedian is like such a cool series.
It's amazing.
Scott Moran produces it. Check it out. It's available on YouTube. Modern Comedian. And you were on an episode. How did that happen?
Oh, I mean, Scott just knew me from doing stand-up, and he wanted to do, like, every level at comedy, and he's like, who do I know that's at the bottom? And
well, I feel like that's a funny thing with you. Subha's notorious for being the B.I.G., but Subha's notorious for being at every open mic, right? You're, like, the hardest working comic. You're always out, and really, to me, going to the open mic is like going to the gym, where sometimes you'll put your open mic clothes on and then be like, a lot for me. I'll be like, but I'll just say it into a mirror, which is the equivalent of wearing your gym clothes and eating cheese. But you do it. You've got the drive to go. Like, what's different about you?
I don't know. My parents didn't love me enough. I think.
Did your parents really not love you enough?
Nah. I mean...
You had strict Indian parents.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, not to blow up my mother's spot, but whatever. She's not going to listen to this shit.
We can call your mom. I do it every podcast. I do call my mom at the end. So if you have any mom therapy issues to work out.
No.
No?
Absolutely. I mean, like, we're good. We're at, like, it's like between North Korea and South Korea. Like, there's just a very, like, the factory at the border is open again. Like, we're just trying
to keep
it chill
happening
before there's a war.
By the way, congrats, North Korea and South Korea, for opening that factory.
No, it's just, because, like, I feel like, my mother was pushed into an arranged marriage when she was younger, which she said was not a mistake. Like, she thinks it was for the best. But
yeah, we have that in common in our families. Arranged marriages and a deeper understanding of arranged marriages is not just, like, throwing women into fire.
I don't like when people idealize it either, because they'll hear comics be like, I wish my mom could find me a husband. I'm like, that's awful. This is very awful.
But it's to be realistic. I mean, I know there's horrible...
It's like how progressive it is. You know what I mean? It's all over the map.
Yes.
With anything.
And how progressive was hers?
It was pretty progressive. I mean, like, she had a say in it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, they met for like a couple days.
Yeah.
She was like, all right. But the problem is, like, they pushed her to get married in the middle of her finals and stuff like that. So she lost her standing as, like, the top student.
Oh, shit.
She was, like, I mean, she was still in the top whatever, but she wasn't, like, the
what
best.
What was she studying?
Law. And so she had her law degree. She had all that done. Like, she was very, very brilliant. But the problem is, when her and my father moved to this country, she lost her license.
Because it didn't carry over.
Because you have to like practice for a little bit in India or some shit for it to transfer. I don't really know the rules, but she said something about that. And she didn't have any time to practice or do any of that. They just moved right here.
That's such a shitty... It happened to my uncle with his PhD, and then he had to be... Crazy. They're like, your PhD equals a security guard license. Congratulations, you're a certified security guard.
You studied physics? Oh, yeah. Great. Then you'll really know how to move this mop. You'll be really good. You'll get all the right angles.
Yeah. You'll really understand how gravity pushes the mop along with your arms. there's definitely, I mean, as anyone would have some bitterness around.
Yeah, exactly. And it was constantly pushed on me. Like, I was constantly kind of like.
You were supposed to be the lawyer that.
Yeah, it wasn't
license.
Even like the lawyer, like the top of everything. And it was just like, I got 1 point away from perfect on my ACTs, and I didn't want to retake them because I thought that was good. And then my mother was like, you're retaking them. And I refused. We got into a big fight about it. I'm like, holy I'm shit. 1 point away from perfect. I'm not going to retake it. And she was like, no. Like, I wanted to take less classes in high school because I was like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I don't care. I'll be in the top. It'll be fine. And she wanted me to be valedictorian. And so she's like, what are you going to do? Stay
home
and make
babies? Wow, that's an interesting
like,
one, too. Valedictorian. Oh, so she really doesn't... Did she... Which is not a classic opinion of her from her culture, didn't care for you to make babies. She wanted you to be the academic
later,
she could never be.
Later. She wanted me to, you know what I mean? Like
She wanted you to do everything.
Exactly.
Really, really,
pretty
really.
Much.
She wanted you to be the South Asian Barbie.
She wanted me to have like that great
And then
career she
after
wanted.
You win the world beauty pageant, you'll give birth to 17 boys. Only boys.
She really wanted all that, and it was partly that and part of the fact that, so it was kind of like I was constantly pushed, like I wasn't good enough, and I never really felt like I had an identity, you know what I mean, coming from two communities where, like, grew up in a racist neighborhood, mother just let me become Americanized so I would fit in more, she's like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this, and then, like,
just wear this hat sideways, I don't know,
I went around the Indians, and then they're like, ew, you don't know what state the Taj Mahal is in? I'm like, why the fuck would I know that? And
they're that's like the only thing they did. They're just like, what state is?
They literally asked me that. I was sitting in class. They're like, you're so white. What state is the Taj Mahal in? I'm like, I don't know.
So I guess we've got that in common, too. Whitey brownie. Fish out of... Well, that's what builds a comedic perspective, is the fish
out of
water.
Exactly.
If I was to be so...
Just from the other night, she gonna be upset if she keeps scrolling to the left.
You know, so like that.
But what really started to get me friends, because I didn't have a lot of friends, you know what I mean, was I did really well in school. So people would come to me for their homework. People would talk to me about how to do well on the tests and things like that. And I was always doing, like, I always knew how to do everything, but I was almost failing out of school at every grade because, I mean, I was a really shitty kid. I thought I was smarter than everybody, so I wouldn't take the test. I would just fail. And
wait, you would not take the test?
I refuse to take tests, so I would just fail. I would
fail
everything.
What the fuck is that about?
I don't fucking, because my mom taught me 3 years ahead. So when I came into class and they were explaining it in like baby language,
but isn't
that
crazy? Isn't that like knowing you could crush on stage, but being like, I'm not performing this show? Or like, what was it psychologically that you?
I hated them because they looked at me like I was a baby.
So
like,
that was like the ultimate like fuck you to your parents was like
not my parents, my teachers. Because like if you teach me 3 years ahead and I'm a child and you're explaining it to me, you know how kids hate being condescended to?
Yeah,
it'll be like they don't like being called young. That's what it felt like. Where it was just like I was like fuck you, I already know how to do this. Everyone here is stupid. And then I didn't know the order of the days in the week until I was like halfway through middle school.
Oh my god, that's like me too, dude. You know, like when you're younger, you miss a week of school and then you're like, what's a fridge? Or like something very essential.
I know. I miss like, it's astounding, like the gaps in my knowledge.
I can't do months. Like the way people are like, no numerical to month name. It's only 12 of them. And I'm starting in my 29 years to get a grasp. But like literally, I was in middle school and my mom would drive me to school and be like, January, February, March. And everybody already knew it, but I somehow missed that.
It's weird. And then you just miss something so essential that makes you look very dumb.
Speaking of very dumb, we found this clip of you, JK.
But doing well was the first time people gave me any type of positive attention. Like, my family life was very negative. I was getting picked on everywhere. The only thing that happened positive, and the only reason I started to do well in school is because I liked one teacher. And so as soon as I started getting good grades, all of a sudden my mother was happy. So it was like there was some happiness at home. Before, my parents were always fighting.
And then you kind of, okay, so you figured it out how to make them happy.
It's like, not even that. I mean, they were still fucking fighting. But like, you know, like I would wake up to them screaming at each other. It was like not
good.
Wait,
are they together still?
Yeah. Okay. They've calmed down since me and my brother moved out of the house.
And they don't listen to podcasts, I'm assuming.
I hope not.
Yeah, fuck. But imagine they did listen to every podcast you did and talked about that, and then they actually figured it out. They're like, you know what? She's got a point. I should just get my law degree.
Maybe we should go to couples therapy.
Couples therapy sounds like I saw Groupon for one.
I knitted a sock puppets.
Okay. Enough about them / we can talk about them. But for you, then...
I think that's what drives me, is I started to define my worth based on how I was doing. Because that's how my worth was being shown to me. Like, okay.
Also have a very deep understanding, or like a firm grasp on who you are and mm-hmm. what made you you. You go to therapy?
I did in college.
Okay. So that's what pushes you.
I think, like, coming from that background, like, it's a lot of fucking Asians and South Asians have that shit where it's just like that drive that you're defined by what you're doing. And if you're not doing it, you're a piece of shit, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, there's something wrong with you. You did something wrong. You didn't work hard enough. You should have done it.
Yeah.
It took a lot to unprogram that. Because that, like, my therapist in college was talking about how, like, a lot of second-generation Asians and South Asians will just kill themselves. Even, like, you know what I mean, over academia and shit like
that. Yeah,
yeah. Because it's such a results-driven culture. So it's just, like...
I was just talking to my friend who's Persian who wanted to be an actress, and then she was just like, you know what, no matter what I do, it's going to take me, like, 8 years before I start making good money. I may as well be a doctor. And is now studying, and she's my age, and she's studying to get into med school. But she got results back from a test, and she was like freaking out at, like, the way you were describing. And I was kind of talking her down from it. And in my mind as a friend, I was like, I don't want you to kill yourself. But then I was thinking about, like, you know, she had just visited and we'd had drinks, and I was talking
she
about
was a
like,
bitch, and you're like, you know what? Maybe you should kill yourself.
Yeah, maybe you should kill yourself. Then I thought like about who she really was and what she contributed. And I sent her a razor. No, like, I was talking about my career and thing, you know, the things that I worry about. And I was like, oh yeah, no matter what you do, even the most, you know, solid job, which is being a doctor, right? Like, that's the most respected.
In our community, I'd say probably, yeah, it's up there.
Anyways, she did kill herself, but I don't want to give her too much attention on this podcast. I guess... Is there a way in this field to make your parents happy?
No, absolutely. There's no way. Right now we're at like a, like I literally am calling it a temporary truce, because as soon as they figure out what I say on stage, oh, I'm a dead bitch walking.
Really?
Oh my God.
If they found out what you talked about on stage, you'd be dead.
Oh my God. Well, for one, they still think I'm a goddamn virgin. Like, I talk about sex. I'm very explicit with sex. For the reasons that I'm not just doing it to
be like...
So
this is, I mean, doing these podcasts, doing these shows, knowing full well that you haven't communicated to them is like the same way you didn't take tests to your team. Like, it's
nah,
a fuck you.
It's not a fuck you. I'm just like, it's an inevitable this is going to explode. It's like I'm on the Titanic. You know what I mean? Like, shit is going to go down. But I may as well play. You know what I mean? So fucking play this violin and enjoy myself, because this
you
boat
don't
is
really
sinking.
Feel that, do you?
I do.
No, because you have control over it. You don't live with them.
No, but I mean, see, I'll be fine. But my relationship with them, which I mean, I do value a lot, I think is at some point going to
burst.
Yeah.
Well, some would say the same thing about coming out, and I think personally, if the love is there, you'll find your way.
I think. I mean,
back.
I don't know with them. I would hope. You know what I mean? Like, my parents are very forgiving and they love me a lot, despite some of the shit they say.
But they haven't Googled you?
They have, but there's not a lot about me. You know what I mean?
What, like, about that Modern Comedian episode? There's nothing...
There's a little bit, but my mom, she's so in denial. I think she watched it and she thinks I just made it up. You know what I mean? Like, she's not processing it.
Yeah. So you being a comic is like you being gay to them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like,
I told her I kissed two boys in college, which is true. I was a virgin all through college. I kissed two boys in all of college in 1 year. And she was like, oh my God, you kissed two men in 1 year? She wouldn't drink out of the same glass of water as me. She was so disgusted. She was like, you disgusting whore. Like, she wouldn't drink out of the same glass of water.
But I bet part of her wishes. No, you're, I mean, from the very first thing that you said on when we were talking.
I don't think my mom wants extraneous dick. I mean, it could just be.
Not extraneous dick. That, first of all, that sounds like the longest dick that just never ends, that goes through your body, out your mouth, and then back, looping through. like you're the spool of a kite.
I don't
No one wants extraneous
dick. I don't think my mom watches Sex in the City and is like, I wish I was Miranda. I want to be a Miranda.
No, that's like way too far removed, but I bet she's wondered. I mean,
maybe she's been curious, but I think it's just one of those things where it's so heavily entrenched in our culture that I don't even think she allows herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she.
But she dream of peony. JK. JK.
I remember her sex talk with me was like her.
It doesn't exist.
She didn't say it doesn't exist, but she walked down the stairs. She's like, you know sex? I was like, yeah. She's like, it's not good. And then she walked up. Like, oh my God.
Trust my Yelp review.
And then she kept having a conversation. I think she purposely had a loud conversation but with also one of
you,
her girlfriends.
I mean, the thing is, like, what do you know about sex? You know.
If only had. And that's the thing. It's like, I think about her and I'm like, what if I only. I think about the worst dude that I dated that was, like, really bad and mad. And it's like, what if that's what I thought sex was?
Yeah.
I would never do it again. I would just be like, I guess this is what this is. It gave me a baby. Hooray. Like, it's just like. I'm like, if that's what I thought sex was. Because, like, if you have, like, good sex, it's like, oh, it's like heroin. I'm like, oh my God, you're a piece of shit and you're ruining my life, but I'm addicted. Like, it's
No pun intended, JK. Pun intended. Pun intended.
Some shit that she don't want to see. She ain't ready for it. If I ain't the greatest, then I'm headed for it.
We like Drake here. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode of My Sexy Podcast is brought to you by Drake. And that was written by Drake, typos and everything. Drake's likes to keep it real. But seriously, go out there, download Drake's album with code SEXYPOD, and you'll get 3 free Drake songs. Not going to give you okay. This has been a very bad commercial. I'm so sorry, Aubrey.
That mean a whale. Yeah, the 6 ain't friendly, but that's where I lay up.
You know what? Fuck that song. We gonna go back to Modern Comedian, play a little bit from. There's like an interesting format going on here where I am playing clips. I mean, who would have thought that this podcast would go this way?
Are you nervous?
Earlier this week, I was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
I was running from the one show to another show to prep this set, and I threw up a week before.
Did you really throw up?
I did.
For this show.
This is from Modern Comedian. This is right before she's going to perform on Night Train, which is like a big show at Littlefields in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be a disaster, but I'm okay now.
Make some noise for Subha Agarwal.
I got picked on all the time because I did well in school, but they were like mad racist about it. True. This is what they would say to me every time I did well on a math test. They'd be like, "Oh, Sibby, you're doing well on that math test because you're Indian. You're doing well because you're Indian." Like, no, I'm doing well because my parents hit me. That's why.
Yeah, girl. So you've been, how long have you been doing stand-up?
7 years.
7 years, yeah. But you started in New York?
Mm-mm, I started in Chicago.
In Chicago. Okay, cool. Yeah. Really good comics come from Chicago.
It's a great scene.
Do you know why?
Why?
I write jokes on the fly here. So they live in Chicago. That's the distance that keeps you away from getting
death. Keeps me sane.
Do you feel, have you learned to like balance your life a little bit with other things, or like what percentage of your life is comedy?
Oof, like 95. I mean, really? But I mean,
but
I'm
then
still,
that's very common for a lot of comics.
Yeah, I'm still doing other shit. I mean, I'm a lot calmer now. Even like when that filmed, I'm like almost a completely different person from then to now.
What's different?
Just my attitude and like
and my personality and my name. I also have a dick. It's extraneous. So, no, go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, just my attitude in general. Because, like, it was weird. Because, you know what I mean? Like, I had never been given any opportunities in that Modern Comedian thing. Like, not any, like, really big opportunities. So, like, that was kind of, like, the first people were actually looking at me. And so I just went through. And from there, I ended up getting a manager. And all this shit started happening. And
that's just, great. That's awesome.
It was it was dope. I mean, a lot of it didn't work out, which is what I needed. You know what I mean? Because now I don't give a fuck. I don't give a flying fuck. Like, I could be auditioning for anything. I don't give a shit. I'm like so over it. When like so
Wait,
many people.
When did this tape? This is like within a year. You're like, oh, I fucking realize nothing's fucking worth it. I'm fucking.
No, but in like a good.
I'm Mark Maron now.
You know what I mean? When you have like so many things you thought were going to happen and everyone.
Yeah,
it's
called life, bitch.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like I hadn't had that happen to me where I hadn't been like, oh, and like, or even if you do amazing on an audition. And like a lot of it is just casting. It's just like you're not right for it.
Yeah.
And just having that click in my head and being like, oh, well, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm just going to keep doing whatever, and whatever happens is whatever happens. And then like looking at people at different, because I ended up talking a lot to this older comic, just because he watched The Modern Comedian. He ended up talking with me a lot over time.
What's his name?
John Laster.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He's like super, you read his Facebook post, right? He's like super fucking smart. Really wise. And it was just like one long conversation actually at Stand Up New York that like completely, you know what I mean? Like he just said some shit that made complete sense about life in general. He's like, the happiest you are now is the happiest you're ever gonna be.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, that's a really good thing. It's really good to get the insight of people.
Older
that,
comedians, older oh, comics. Yeah. My God, like I'm always grateful whenever like a vet will sit down and talk to me.
We have the producer, coming in, shoving his phone in my face with a note. He basically just berated me for having a sound effect when my emails come through. And it's like, how am I supposed, like, they expect me to not be emailing while I'm hosting this. It's fucking ridiculous! Shout out to Andrew in the booth. Ladies, love him. You know what his dick is. You know where I got that spool extraneous reference. Guys, a new announcement. You're not going to be able to hear the rapidity to which I receive junk mail. It's just not going to happen for you anymore. So that was a tender moment where things were happening on a meta level, but Andrew can't handle it.
None of the flowers.com updates we're not going to get.
No, but this episode is brought to you by flowers.com. Flowers.com. Better be listening to Drake because they're flowers. So we were just talking about, talking to an older comic or like getting the inside of someone who's been at it longer. I do feel like I've been doing this for like 12 years and I started really young, but still having had the whole I always say bird's eye view. I always say like looking at it from a bird's eye view. One day I'll figure out a better saying, you know, it's been 11, 12 episodes of this podcast. I know you've heard me say bird's eye view, but still imagine me, a tiny little bird up in the sky looking at my life and my career. Come on, it's amazing. Bird's eye view. But yeah, when I look at things from that perspective, there's times where things are great, but my personal life is shitty, or my personal life's great, but my career could be better, or my career is the worst and my personal life's the worst, but I just bought flowers from Drake. You know, like it's when you look at things from that perspective, you realize not to get so caught up in the one opportunity that got away.
Exactly. And like even I was talking to John and I talked to J.L. Colvin, who was just like telling me not to rush into things, be patient. And that's like, I just kind of realized that no matter what level you're at, like if you're ambitious, it's a constant feeling of things aren't going right. It doesn't matter what level. And it just understanding, because I was so focused on this one goal. It's like, and then I was like, oh, it's not even about the goal. It's about what I'm doing right. Like, life is right now, bitch. Like, I literally had a meltdown. Like, from those two conversations from those two vets, I was like, I freaked the fuck out. Like, I was like, I'm not living life. And I started eating bacon. Like, I just.
You just started it?
Well, I'm a vegetarian. Like, I ate bacon. I had raw sex. I started freaking out. I was like,
raw this sex? Is like,
yeah. It was with a boyfriend. But, like, okay, I was too. I would never have done that before. I was like.
You know, when you say things like that now, everyone that's listening is like, oh my God, someone make sure her parents don't have the internet.
Oh my God, they would kill me.
So, yeah, that, I mean.
I did like everything like that I shouldn't have done. Like,
I want to see a montage of all of it, except for the raw sex, because I'm not that curious, JK. I'm curious. Show it. Skydiving while eating bacon and getting fucked with no condom. Is not something we condone on this podcast, but if you do have a clip of it, we will play the audio.
The audio.
Ah, nom, 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 nom. That's my orgasm noise. guys.
This shit a motherfucking layup. I been Steph Curry with the shot. Been cooking with the sauce. Chef Curry with the pot, boy.
That just brings me to, if you're really going to loosen up and experience life, eat some Chef Curry with the sauce. Chef Curry with the sauce, boy.
I don't know. I just take shit a lot less seriously. No.
Good. That's very good. That's a good lesson to learn, especially for someone when you said, like, you've got that South Asian fever for accomplishment. You should also know, you know, having the perspective of knowing that nothing will be enough.
Plus, like,
so why not enjoy the moments?
It's just like, and if you're not happy, you don't have happiness to give to other people. Like, I look around at, like, some of the people who I just, like, I don't know, I'm just, like, my entire, like, when I see them in a room, like, my face lights up, like, you know, like, a Dan Soder or, like, a Nick Turner, because they're such...
Sabrina Jalisse. Don't laugh that loud, okay?
Also Sabrina Jalisse, you know what I mean? Because they're such positive, happy people.
Yeah.
And they're constantly joking. They're just, and that's something I realized. It's like, when I'm miserable to other people. It's just like, because I don't have any happiness to give to somebody. So it's just like, if I don't start fixing me, I'm not going to be what I want to be in the world.
Yeah,
like,
girl, these are good revelations.
Like, I had all of that within the past year. And it's just like, trying to take shit less seriously, learning how to support myself so I can support others, trying to be happy and positive so I can share that energy with other people. And like, it's just like, life, literally life is right now. Like, I'm trying to, you know what I mean, just be positive in my community.
Should we order bacon on Seamless right now?
I'm over the whole meat
phase. And just have all of our forefathers just rolling in their graves. But it's like a flash mob. It's like a Bollywood music plays. And then we play the audio from that. I'm gonna go ahead and do that.
Bollywood music.
Okay, hold on, let me just get the audio queued up for our forefathers. And you got that bacon, Suba?
I do.
Just so you know, we cut and we are back. We've got bacon. You got your bacon in the hand?
I do. I've got it.
All right, here we go. I got my bacon. Forefathers, you ready to do this? Munch, munch. Eat, eat. We are eating bacon, bacon. Yum, yum, yum.
Yummy bacon, yummy, yummy bacon. Money, revenge, we are women, we are free.
I think I danced to that song at an Indian party.
Did you?
I think so.
It looks like a good one. What would happen if we played this song and Drake at the same time?
360 with the wrist, boy. Who the fucking niggas is, boy?
Ooh, that kind of merged together well.
I think half of the audience just had a seizure.
Oh, goodness. Guys, did you have a siege? Tweet in. Give me the transcript of your siege. We'll play the audio back from the transcript. We'll get Andrew to read the transcript. It's very complicated. Let's get back on a linear track that even the stupidest of y'all could follow. You like doing jokes? Suba, what about if everything goes well for you in 20 years? Obviously, the number one now is that you remain to be enlightened in terms of, like, having a good understanding of happiness. What are some things that you would love in your checkbox list to be checked?
I just want to hit that level where I'm able to record an hour every year and people actually give a fuck. Like, an hour every year, every other year.
Cool.
I want to do that. Probably, I'm not sure exactly what, because no comedian just does comedy anymore. Like, have, like, a sitcom or, like, a sketch show.
Which brings me to Sabrina's Flat Tire Fix. Come on down to Williamsburg, Brooklyn for a flat tire fix. Fix them, patch them, blow them up. I'll do it. So doing something, writing for TV, probably?
Like, I don't, like, writing or acting.
How do you feel about writing for TV?
I like the idea of it, but I don't want to sit away in a writer's room. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to
Your primary love is doing stand-up.
Yeah. And I feel like writing is so intensive that it just takes time away from comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I would love to shout out to Aaron Friedman. Aaron Friedman, he's here. He's queer, but he hasn't acknowledged it yet. Aaron Friedman, one of the producers at Stand Up New York Labs. Yeah, I would actually love to write now. But I guess it's also, I think it's also like your relationship with comedy. Every relationship with comedy is different. Some people are like, I just want to be doing stand-up. And maybe you're one of the tried and trues.
In the long run, I just want to be doing stand-up, but I also want to do some, like, acting and eventually make something that's my own. Like, you know what I mean? Like, either a sketch show or something like that.
I think that
like
we just created it. It's called Our Forefathers Are Rolling in the Grave While We Eat Bacon. Guys, I wish I had that sound effect cued faster, but here it is. I do love how cartoonish Bollywood is.
Oh, it's so awesome. I love the knockoffs of American films.
Yes.
My favorite.
Like, you've got to Google Indian Bollywood music video and watch, like, the most exaggerated handshakes and winks. Okay, so your parents do know that you're not going to get an arranged marriage, though, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're still okay with me being single, but it's starting to wear thin. At least my older brother isn't married yet, so that's still buying me some time.
Yeah, they go in order of Russian dolls. First you open one, then
I mean,
the next.
He's going to get married soon, though.
Are they marrying him?
He doesn't want that yet, but he might.
He'll cave.
I think he will. Because he's too fucking picky. He doesn't want Indian girls that are quote-unquote Americanized. You know what I mean?
Oh, so he's real. Did he be born there? did he be born over there?
No. He was born here, but he's, like, super traditional.
Okay.
Does
he know you? Or do you also have North Korea, South Korea with him?
We have North Korea, South Korea, but he knows a little bit more. But we don't mesh a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I try and keep him a little bit further away.
Okay. Because he would leak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's such a little snitch.
So then you must have to create kind of a new family. And
I was looking for that for the longest time. You know what I mean? Especially in a man, which was a big mistake.
Yeah, obviously. For the first Tinder date. I've been looking for a family, Jonathan. His dick just shrivels up.
I bought us matching Christmas sweaters. I hope you're large.
I know it's July, but I'm assuming we'll be hanging out till then. Daddy, mommy.
But like, and listen, like when I, when I started dating, it started to get a little bit serious. Like it would always rip my heart out because it felt like if it wouldn't work out. Because I always wanted, like, I just wanted something else to call home that felt like it was there. Like in my head, I just want something else
what
to call
friendships,
home.
What about friendships, though?
That's kind of what it's turned into, like, throughout the years doing comedy. Like,
because I consider my friends family. I think that's, like, sort of the evolution of, like, when I came out to my Muslims, they're mine and they're Muslim. They're not mine anymore. But all of my aunts and uncles, they basically abandoned me and were very, like, dramatic and South Asian about it. And now some are starting to come back. But in that time, I kind of had that realization where it's like, okay, well, this is very tragic. Nothing can replace family. And yet, family isn't the same thing that it used to be or that
it's
is to some cultures.
And that's the thing. It's like even to me, it's just an ever-shifting network of people. You know what I mean? Like someone who used to like would have died for me 3 months ago may not be in my life right now. So it's just one of those things where I just kind of let go and I embrace and I recognize who is my family now.
Okay.
And what can I do to support and nurture and make that relationship last? And if it goes away, it's not a big deal.
Young lady, you sound very, very educated. Very. I almost played the Indian clip. Then I said no. No more for you.
No more Bhangra for you.
OVO, man, we really with the shits, boy.
Write in if you think I'll get sued. I will? Andrew says I will get... Really? What am I going to get sued for? Drake loves me. He's a sponsor. Bollywood music video loves me. And I'm saying what they are. Guys, listen. I'm not in the business of lawsuits. I don't even know about them. Stop talking about it. I need to call my mom. Do you want to call my mom, Suba?
Yes.
We're going to call my mom together. Basically, every episode I call her and I ask her for some sort of wisdom. I feel like you've shared a lot of wisdom today in terms of like happiness and just, you know, in general, being a fair and balanced person like Fox. So today, actually, she uses Dr. Oz a lot as a crutch, and she'll pawn his knowledge as her own. But now he's in trouble, so I'm going to ask her about, you know, Dr. Oz is in trouble, right?
He's in trouble?
Well, he's been like, let's see if my mom has any intel about it.
Hello?
Yo, girl, what's up?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, girl?
Are you rapping today?
Just saying, girl!
I don't understand that language.
Yes, I'm right! Mom?
Yes?
I'm here with Subha Agarwal.
Okay.
Can you guess what color her skin is?
I'm not going to go there.
Same as your hubby's.
Anyway,
brown and delicious.
Remember you were supposed to send me an email with the name in advance?
Oh, yeah. But let's be honest. You only want that for ethnic people. We had a part on Anchorla here, and my mom called her Jessica or something. And then I was like, no,
well,
mom, Aparna. And she's like, I can't hear that. What, mom?
Bina.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, like, I can't always hear you that well. Maybe you're too close to the mic. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Or maybe you just don't talk clearly.
Mom, I do talk clearly. Can you
hear
me now?
That's a possibility.
Can you hear me now? Yeah,
yes, I can hear you now.
I feel like you're coming at me because your main boo is in a little bit of heat. Know what I'm saying? Dr. Oz?
I don't. Well, you know what? I agree with a lot of
she
things
hangs up.
That are being said. Okay?
Okay. You agree with a lot of things that Dr. Oz said? First of all, can you summarize what's going on with Dr. Oz?
Well, I mean, it sounds like he is endorsing a lot of different products. One thing is for sure, he always makes it sound very easy. And most of it, the criticism has to do with weight loss and weight loss cures, you know, in quotations.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he always makes it sound so easy. Just take this and your stomach will disappear or whatever. And I guess some people just believe it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to do everything that he's telling you, you would have to just take pills all day long. You couldn't eat anything, you know.
Okay.
I'm saying pills, it's supplements, really.
Yeah.
I'm not watching every show anymore because a lot of it is repetition. I think he probably should go to a weekly show because he's kind of gone through all the different, you know, like topics. A lot of things that he does, I find very, very useful.
Yeah.
You know.
I know you respect him a lot.
He talks about, you know, different, you know, symptoms for different, you know, problems. And, you know, when you have this symptom, then you kind of know what's going on or you have a good idea. So he's doing a lot of good, but I think he's also talking too much about, you know, weight loss cures. I mean, there's so many different supplements.
There is no cure.
And
we're fat, and that's
it. You know, like, well, the thing is, it's not that easy. You know, like, he's saying he's just presenting the different options, which I appreciate, because something might work for somebody and it might not work for somebody else. But he does make it usually sound quite convincing that it will work.
You taught me how to lose weight early on in my life, and it's very simple. The Simpla Ursula's Simpla diet, which is don't eat food, bitch. Run. Don't eat food. At night, put a tea bag of sawdust in your throat and swallow.
Come on, Bina.
Mommy, I actually have another question to ask you. Subha is Indian, and her parents don't know that she does, or they don't like that she does comedy. She's a very funny comedian, and she basically can't really be honest about that part of her life with her parents. Do you have any advice for her?
You mean they don't know that she's doing it for a living? Or how can she not be honest? In what sense?
Well...
Hello?
Yeah.
Like, in what sense? In what sense can she not be honest?
Well, they just don't... They can never... If they heard about what she talked about on stage, they would be very upset. She just avoids the topic, but it is a passion of hers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what she's talking on stage about, but frankly speaking, I don't, you know, endorse everything you're saying on stage either.
What do you mean? But
you know, it's your life.
Yeah, you also don't endorse everything Dr. Oz says, and you love Dr. Oz, so let's agree to have a miracle pill on stage.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I would say it's not an easy profession, that's for sure, and parents always want the best for their kids, right? I mean, if you had a paycheck, you know, you'd know exactly where you're standing, but on the other hand, you can see nowadays how many people are losing jobs or cannot find jobs. You pretty much, you know, are self-employed, you know. And hopefully there's always something you'll find to do, you know, to support yourself. It's not an easy profession, like, but, you know, I think anything to do with arts is difficult, you know.
And also for her to follow her dreams?
Yeah, but I think it's, you know, like, it's a nice thing when you have a dream and you can follow it, because a lot of people are in jobs that they really hate, and so every day they have to do something that they hate.
There you go,
really
mom, you hit it.
Be very healthy, right?
You hit it. You
cannot
hit that G-spot
healthy.
I was looking for. You did it.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Now, can you say this? I love you, Suba. Say it.
Is it Shuba? How do you spell that?
It's spelled S-U-B-H-A-H.
Oh, so many H's, eh? So why do you say Shuba, not Suba? It's S-S-U,
No, that's
right?
No, mom, you're the only one saying Shoop, girl.
Huh?
You're the only one saying Shuba. It is Suba.
Suba, okay.
Okay,
well,
so say it.
Well, you know, I love you, Suba. But Bina, I'm gonna listen to that thing podcast when it's on playing, and I can almost guarantee you said Shuba. Okay,
right.
That's what I heard.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's
tweet in if you're on my mom's side, and go to hell.
It's kind of like journalist and generalist. Okay.
Ooh, guys, if you want to know the reference, go hit up episode 10 when my parents were in studio and releasing a rap called Higher Ground. Mom, I love you from the bottom of my heart. And girl, I don't even mean that in a fake way.
Yeah, well, I have just one question. Why do we say from the bottom of the heart? Is that better than from the top of the heart?
Ooh. You're getting spicy near the end here.
No, I don't know. Think about it.
From the bottom of my heart.
Bottom.
Mom, stop swearing. Stop fucking swearing. We have to bleep you out when you swear like that.
Okay,
I think it's mommy. You know how to contract a home. Where do you start? From the bottom, from the foundation.
Okay, all right.
Why'd you get mad at me?
No, I'm not mad. I get your point.
Okay.
I get your point, okay?
But next episode, you're going to justify why it should be the top of the heart. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been my mother.
Yeah.
This has
really
been...
Really with the shits. I should probably sign a hit, boy, because I got
mother.
All that...
Mom?
Okay, all right.
Bye. She got mad at me in the end. She was like, actually, I didn't need you to answer. It was more of a quip. And it was more of a statement that the top of the heart is better. It's where the shape happens, where the crest sort of comes together. Two little boob shapes merge in the center. Why would you just go with a spiky little bottom?
It's what? Fuck all that Drake, you gotta chill shit.
Yeah, fuck all that Drake, you gotta chill shit.
Your mom is dope.
She is pretty dope. She is a... She's like a very level-headed realist.
That's good. My mom is not.
Oh, I've got plenty of, yeah. My wife is not.
My mom's very angry.
Ooh, little wife knock near the end. But no, it's not. It's just not. And there's negative parts of that, too. I mean, not too, but like... There is, my brother is actually like her, and he once said to me, like, Bina, listen, like, you, I was, like, bummed about something. He's like, your emotions go from here to here, and just so you're knowing, audience, my hands are, like, totally far apart. And then he was like, so when you're bummed, you'll go that low, and when you're excited, you'll go that high, and mine are, like, more like here. And just so you know, audience, my hands are, like, it's like quite close together, but not too close together, where it's demeaning. And that's like where his fluctuation goes. You're probably, where do you think you are?
Oh, I'm like all over the map. I'm like, boom, boom, like.
One of her hands is on the other wall. And the other, in a way that's crazy because the other one's in a different room. Okay, this has got to wind down. I love you, Suba.
I love you too, Bina.
Let's both say I love you, Drake, together. One, two, three. I love you, Drake.
I be on my little mouse drill shit. Fuck all that rap to pay your bill shit. Yeah, I'm on some rappers pay my bill shit. All up on TV, I thought it made
y'all, if you want to subscribe, you can subscribe to this podcast. It's my first time asking you to subscribe. I don't know. I got no how. Do you subscribe? You know how to push a button. Buttons. I love you. This has been my sexy podcast. Okay. We do not condone saying the N-word on My Sexy Podcast. Thank you and good night. You like doing jokes?
Stone cold. Don't you know you are my heartache? And chasing old mistakes. You'll be screaming out for more when I'm halfway out the door someday. Give me 10 to count for, 'cause I know you wanna hear me say. And I go, just take off your clothes and touch the lips that you'll be kissing.